What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 96 of Value Town. And today we're playing the heroic brawl, all four of us, right now. Right, guys?
I wish.
Go Team Dad Bod.
Is that how we get viewers today? No, I'm JMV, and joining me today are Disguised Toast. What's up, Toast?
Hey.
That kind of sounds weird when I say, what's up, Toast?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Excited to talk about the new cards and, of course, Heroic Tavern Brawl, which is what everyone cares about right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Amnesiac, fresh off of school and doing his homework, joining us.
Yeah, chemistry lab went well. I'm ready to talk about Hearthstone.
All right, good. Chemistries and all those potions, man. It makes total sense. And TJ, what's up?
Hey, man. I'm a little bit intimidated now to be on a show with Young Savage after being burned by him so many times in a single event, but at least Toast is here to keep us grounded.
Keep us grounded. Good stuff. Got lots to talk about. Of course, the Heroic Brawl just dropping today, so we're going to start off with that. Some news, too. A few items, some events, as well as just mostly events-related things. Also, we'll be talking about the latest cards. We're just going to continue that for the next couple weeks. We've got the latest, I believe, 15 cards to talk about. And then a few of our patrons actually submitted a couple cards, Mechatorp cards, that I think will be worthy of having just a patron Mechatorp's workshop. We don't actually have a full-out one this week. At the end, we're going to do some Q&A. And folks that are listening, audio, even watching too, email your questions to valuetown@chamianb.tv, and we'll read those questions. We'll also take tweets and whatnot, but I just want to make sure just all the audio listeners get a chance to email it. We didn't get any emails this week from audio listeners, so I think it's going to take a couple of weeks before people start getting used to it, just emailing them a week in advance. But we're going to start taking those. Okay, so let's talk about Heroic Brawl. Right now, I feel like every single streamer is playing Heroic Brawl for very good reasons, and we've got some huge, you know, amounts of viewers watching too. Have you guys been watching anybody specifically, or even played it?
Oh, anybody? Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I just watched Chalky get his first win after losing his first two. So he's grinding. He's on the grind with Freeze Mage. Chess Dude finished with 12 wins with Freeze Mage, 12-2, so he got the 12-win rewards.
But he's the first, right? Chess Dude?
Maybe not like the first in the world because it takes a while, but definitely the first that I know of.
Okay, yeah. Freeze Mage. Actually, Amnesia, you were saying that you don't even know if Freeze Mage is a counter to Shaman because that's all anybody's playing right now is Shaman when I've been watching the streams. At least the opponents. I mean,
It's probably favored. Like, it's definitely favored. It's not like. It's not like 75-25, like some people make it out to be, I don't think. I think it's more like 60-65, which is good.
Yeah.
But then you look at like every other Freeze Mage matchup ever, and since a lot of people might be playing Warrior to try and beat Shaman, if you get them, you just lose, and you really can't auto-lose in this format. So I'm pretty sure you're supposed to just play Shaman. I don't know.
Well, Maz is trying Priest. How about that?
I would not recommend that.
Already got 11 with Priest, didn't he?
Yeah, he got 11 with Dragon Priest trying to farm the Shamans. He was really close, too.
He
actually lost to a Druid after playing Deathwing, and the Druid busted out his own Deathwing. Oh. I think he would have actually got 12 if it wasn't for that. But yeah,
that's
so many people watching right now. Like, my favorite thing is watching the view counts as someone approaches 12 wins. RD shot up to like 12,000 and he lost, and then he shot back down to 2,000. And Firebash shot up to 40,000, he lost, and he just stopped. It's like everyone wants to see that 12 win victory so far.
Just want to see those packs and that gold.
Yeah. It's kind of cool how they do it. I mean, they kind of just like throw you all these prizes like one at a time. And it's like, at first I was like, they're not going to show us the totals? What? But they do show us a total at the end, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Firebat was saying how he was playing like Control Warrior, and he was getting fatigued a little bit after like 8 games. Amnesiac, you think you'd kind of be feeling fatigued after playing this Heroic Brawl for, I guess, 8 to 10 wins?
Probably not. I've played 16 hours of ladder in a row before to qualify for. Because I wasn't going to play. I was like, I didn't feel like qualifying for summer prelims because like there wasn't that much reason for me to. Yeah. But then on the last day of the season, I'm like, you know, this is probably my best interest. So I just played Hearthstone for 16 hours. And if I can do that and not jump off a cliff, then I think I can do a heroic brawl and keep my cool.
I don't think I've even played 16 hours total of Hearthstone.
I believe you. I've seen the cast.
I believe. Wow.
Ouch. Do you have the Young Savage Live ready?
Exactly. We do. We do have the Young Savage Live here. So one thing that about the heroic brawl is they put a limit on how many you can play, which, Toast, yeah. What do you think of that? Five runs. That's all you get.
I don't really get it. I mean, it's obviously catered towards like a streamer experience, right? That's why everyone's watching. No one wants to risk 1,000 gold to, you know, lose, but everyone's fine with watching, you know, their favorite streamer spend this money. And obviously the streamer's making way more than 10 bucks a run from the viewers and stuff. So yeah, Blizzard implemented a 5-run limit. I'm not sure if it's like per region, but there's a 5-run limit. Not really sure what's there, because then you have to be really careful with your runs. Like, you can't just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And at the same time, if you want to do more, you either have to get a new account or borrow someone else's account, or, you know, I don't know. I don't think a limit should be there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think all these guys playing now, this might be like a one-time shot for like the top streamers, you know, this whole heroic brawl thing, which should have lasted at least a week, right?
You know, if somebody wants to spend more than 50 bucks getting 3 wins every time, then they should have the freedom to do it.
This is like the government controlling gamblers. You know, like, gamblers, you can only gamble $200 in the casino. You can't gamble anymore. I feel like it's something weird like that. Or it's like this. Like, when we went to vacation in the Bahamas or whatnot, at the casino there, they don't let any of the locals play in the casino there. And it's for that reason. They don't want, like, all the locals just, like, burning all their money like on the casino there, which is kind
of odd. Chan man, are you calling Hearthstone gambling?
No, I didn't say that, but you know, whenever you're getting only 3 wins and you're putting in 1,000 each time,
one of these days I'm gonna high roll the 12 wins. That's
exactly.
What
one of these days I'm gonna totally high roll.
AJ is the stereotypical 3-3 player. Yeah. So just living out the dream.
You know how there was this one guy that's like, well, if you have a 50% win rate, eventually you'll get legend. That's me every month. Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's true.
Floating that line.
You have to explain to me that math one of these days. But yeah, so when are you guys going to play? Surely you're going to play once, right?
I don't know. On the first day, it's kind of competitive because, like, for me, I don't have an other account. Like, these 5 runs have to be like staggered out over the week, and obviously if you're doing today, it's like you gotta compete with 10 other streamers using it. So maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, and I'm gonna do like a Twitch Plays Heroic Tavern Brawl. That's probably gonna be a waste of 10 bucks, but
Twitch I'll make it Plays Heroic. Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I'll make it
just
funny.
Don't put Yogg in your deck.
Yeah, don't put Yogg in your deck.
That can't end well.
Yeah, I think I trust Yogg over Twitch chat though.
Yeah, but they're never gonna not play him. At the turn 6, you're gonna have 2 innervates, and yeah, you're just gonna there's be like, yep, go for it. It's good.
It's funny, random. Do it.
It's a video though, you know. That video is definitely gonna do better than the 1,000 gold there.
Start saving my gold for the expansion already.
That's what I mean. Say me too. So it's just like, I'm torn, man. I'm like, why didn't they come out with this heroic brawl when the new expansion came out? That would have made so much more sense.
Like, if you believe the conspiracy theory, and I do, it's to like drain the gold so people would spend actual cash on the new expansion. Yeah. Even though it makes more sense to do it right after, because hey, new cards, new decks, it's like there's no established meta. It'll be way more fun than just shaman. But I do lean towards that it's a plan to reduce the amount of gold out there.
Gold thing. You have an issue with just shaman being the only good deck? Is that a problem to you?
Yeah.
I love Hearthstone. You
know, I have an idea for Blizzard. What they should do is make like an actual slot machine that you can spend gold in. Like, you put 10 gold in and you play the slots, you win the jackpot. It's like 50,000 gold.
Well, that actually sounds pretty fun.
Hundreds of thousands of people are going to.
And there's like different packs, and you can like match the packs across. It's like, ooh, classic pack. It's like, Kobe.
Yeah.
Got 90 dust.
Yeah. And yeah, you spend 10 gold. And like one in every 20 times, you spend 10 gold to get a pack.
Yeah, yes.
That sounds sweet.
Yes. So I didn't even get an answer from you, TJ. Are you going to play it or not?
Yeah, I'll play it once.
I'll play it once too. Heck. Probably wait. Like, so meta, this is funny, Heroic Brawl meta. I'll probably wait at least a couple days before I play it. Hopefully a lot of the good players will stop playing it by then.
I'm gonna end up like waking up and have like think I have a genius idea of a deck that's going to just wreck Heroic Tavern Brawl. And I'm going to cash in on my four wins and then close Hearthstone forever.
People listening or watching, odds of one of us three beating the young savage here to the 12 wins.
Dude, I already have it all mapped out.
You already have it
so
all
what you do is, all right, so you don't play the first day. Everyone's trying the
of
first
course,
day.
That's obvious. Yeah.
All right, so day two rolls around and you don't play, but you do tweet. So here's what you tweet. You tweet out, yeah. Turns out Freeze Mage does just beat Shaman. And you just poke 12 wins of Traco Bot. Yeah. All Mage versus Shaman. And then everyone's playing Mage, right? And then you windmill in with the C'Thun Warrior and you get him.
There you go. That sounds like a great plan to me, man.
It's actually pretty good. Like when you consider the fact that when you know certain websites release like meta decklists, like the ladder does get filled up with, you know, the tier one deck list from that report. I do believe that if someone did a like meta Heroic Tavern Brawl report and said, oh wow, Shaman and Freeze Mage are both tier one right now, it's going to get flooded with those decks. And then you just play the counter. Like, you don't actually have to tell the truth, but if you just say, you know, everyone's playing Freeze Mage, it's amazing.
Honestly, Spacefire is probably really good in that thing.
I haven't seen a single Hunter Mage. I don't know about you guys. I haven't seen a single Hunter played by anybody.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
That would be, like, pretty intuitive, I think. Yeah, I mean, you've got, like, a slight favorable against Shaman, mm-hmm. and you're really favored against Mage, and you're favored against Druid. Like, what else do people even play? Warrior's the only thing that you get, like, got by, and you got game against them. You can just play High Mains if you want, but then you lose to Shaman. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. That'd be good to see. It'd be quick, at least.
Yeah, just go three outs. Like,
exactly.
Next time.
Good stuff. Well, hopefully everybody gets a chance to, or is able to even get a play the Heroic Brawl. But if not, then save your money, save your gold for the expansion that's coming out in a couple weeks, or hopefully.
Save your gold. Yeah. Save it.
Toast tweeted, save Don't your gold. It. Blizzard's like, what are you doing, Toast? Why are you telling people to save their gold?
I saw that in math class. I chuckled.
You chuckled. Good stuff. Okay, moving on. So we got some, we had a pretty busy week in Hearthstone this week. There's several events going on. One being the Red Bull Team Brawl, which is going to be happening, I think, Friday and Saturday. Is that right? Yeah, 17th and 18th, I believe.
I think I thought it was just Sunday.
It's a one-day event.
Oh, it's just a one-day event, so maybe just Saturday.
It's just Sunday, yeah. I think.
Oh, Sunday.
No, okay. Saturday.
Okay,
Saturday?
It's the 18th or the 19th. Yeah.
It's definitely Saturday. I guess I'm 19th, 100%
yeah.
sure of that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, and looking forward to this. The first one, I know TJ and Amnesiac were both, I think you were there too, right? Were you actually at the event? Amnesiac
was... I was at the first one.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, as a spectator, I thought it was amazing. I mean, it was a lot of fun. I mean, the sealed format was definitely great. A little bit of, you know, rockiness in the beginning, but quickly, like a quick production change, and I think it was great the rest of the way. So what do you guys think? You guys looking forward to it? Toast?
Looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, that's right, TJ. You're not there this time around, right? Yeah. Toast?
The communication is like a big part of it, right? The teams talking with one another, like it produced that really funny moment with, I think, Rayman.
Become a cemented meme.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like that's only possible with team communication, and you don't get that like anywhere else. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, the one thing that we sort of learned from the first time is that the, like Toast said, the communication is what people want to watch. And in the first iteration, they spent a lot of time like on the casters. And there's not really much engaging for us to talk about for 30 minutes while they build their decks. It's much more interesting to hear the players. The style that I think works best for it, and it's a style that, I don't know if you guys watched the HTC Mayhem.
Yeah, I watched a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Is sort of like a poker style where both mics are hot, where caster mics are hot and player audio is live. And most of the time, you just let the players talk. You're just there to focus. But if there is dead air, you don't have to like switch back to the casters. They're just there to provide, you know, commentary in the interim, you know, while you're waiting for engaging things to happen with the players. And it will happen. I mean, there's going to be some dead air, but if you have, you know, players or casters to sort of fill that dead air like they do in poker, then I think that's the best way to run it. And, you know, the first time was the first event that anybody had ever done something like this. And so it got better over the course of the day. I think that the first one was more fun for players and people involved in the event than it was for the spectators. But I think that Dan has put a lot of work. He's sort of the mastermind behind this, put a lot of work into how he thinks this should be done. And I think that Red Bull is going to give us a really good product this time around.
I mean, it was good. It was good the first time around. I mean, the only thing I remember was just the complaints about the very beginning of it, like the first hour of it. And then after that, it was, you know, obviously it all died down and the event just ended up being fun. And that's where we got the funny moments and, you know, you really saw the format being played out. Coolest thing is like they're building decks together. You know, like we haven't really dug a little bit deeper into that, but the sealed format, we barely even touched. It's just like the tip of the iceberg with the sealed format. And a lot of the reason has to do with the tool that Tempest Storm built. It has pretty much only been built for this event. So, and they haven't quite made it flexible enough to take on, you know, different variables, like how many decks, how many packs, you know, whatever. Right. But I know they're changing it. They're in the midst of adding that flexibility, which will be
cool. There's still nothing implemented in Hearthstone to import decks, which is like one of the biggest things I think holding formats like this back. Is in many other card games, you get a code. You can like copy paste a code, put it in your client, and it'll build the deck for you, or it'll put all of the cards that you have in the format there. Yeah. Which that would be good for, you know, friend sharing deck lists. It's one of the social features people ask for a long time. It'd be good for sealed format. You build a sealed deck in the client or whatever, the Tempo Storm deck sealed deck tool, and then you copy paste a code, put it in Hearthstone, and it would make, like, we spent 25, 30 minutes in between each round just having the players build the deck list on each of their accounts.
Yeah.
And they had to, like,
and you have to, like, check cards. Yeah. You have to go through, you have to make sure all the cards are right. You're like, oh, wait, do you have the Sludge Belcher? Do I have the Sludge Belcher? Who knows? It's like, that was, but the event was, like, it was really fun the first time for the players. I know that, like, there was a good atmosphere among the players just because Red Bull Studios was really fun. And then I think I agree a lot with what TJ said about the commentary. I also think that, like, in between games is an important time for there to be some sort of, like, bringing it back to the casters, just because you're going to miss things when there's three games going on simultaneously. So I think, like, a recap type situation is really good. But you also might want to get the thoughts of people, like, after a tough loss or, like, after a close game, like, trying to get in their head a little bit about why they think they lost and, like, how they're going to regroup. So I agree. I think the mics should be... all the mics should be hot for the most part. Like, not both players and the casters, but I like the idea of the casters and upset of players doing that. Sounds good.
The whole format just seems like the most team-oriented format that we've seen, because they're all playing at once. They're all asking each other for advice, like, in real time. You know, just, hey, what do you think about this? And you just glance over there, you know, and you're giving something. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the most, just co-op feeling.
Most other team formats are, there's a team, but they all play individually and just accumulate their scores.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right.
But at least in team tennis, at least they're practicing together every day. In team formats in Hearthstone, that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so definitely looking forward to it. It's still one day. I was hoping it would be maybe a couple of days this time around, but you know, hopefully next time.
There really isn't that much content with it, honestly. There's three matches. I guess there's more than.
Should be three.
I'm thinking three matches because I played three matches. But the group stage, like, it's not that long. If you just keep it running, mm-hmm. it's you're only, like, because the series realistically are the length of a best of three, right? Because yeah. everyone plays everybody. You play three matches. So yeah. it's a little longer because of production time, but it's never longer than, like, a best of five, which mm-hmm. are pretty short. So.
Yeah.
The series honestly go pretty quickly. I think it's all right that it's one day just because it's also there's not that much transition between like a first and second day with that type of thing. Like I think if you were to make it to the second day, you'd probably want like a redraft or something just so like new viewers get a fresh start on the format.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also think that a redraft is important in that format because like I know in the first one, there was just no way that Liquid or Tempo Storm was going to lose to Archon or Cloud9. Like there was no way that their pool would lose to our pool. So, like, a redraft might have made it more interesting, but...
Okay, yeah, that would have been pretty cool. I guess it's one of those things, too, if we had more teams just available, like, if there was, like, eight teams, then that's another possibility, too. But, yeah, anyways, whatever it is, it's going to be, I think, a really, really good time, and you know, I think the community will be watching it in droves here. Also, this week, we're going to we have the ATLC 2 qualifiers. I believe that's happening in the next couple days. And there's multiple news related things related to the ATLC too. Obviously the qualifiers are still going to go on no matter what. It's almost like a separate tournament in itself, sponsored by somebody, you know, like I think Amazon Coins or whatnot too.
Amazon Coins, yeah.
Yeah. But the other big news related to it is that Amaz, you know, made a video talking about how he's stopped the Kickstarter for it. And why don't we talk about that? What do you guys think about ATLC 2? Is it going to happen or just general thoughts? Toast, you know, stars?
Stars. I still think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like the whole Kickstarter thing just seemed like it was poorly done from the beginning, like just in terms of PR and stuff, like the way it was marketed. And obviously like after a couple of days, you know, the amount's not getting... It's really hard to hit that amount of money. And I don't know.
Yeah,
I still think it's going to happen. Amaz, he's really good at organizing tournament. The first one was a huge success. So it'll be interesting to see if they're just going to give less money. Because Amaz, I think, someone from Amaz Productions now, said that people weren't willing to do it without the prize money. Which was surprising to me, because
you mean the participants weren't willing to do it without prize money?
With the original prize money, that's why they had to like do a fundraiser so people would be willing to participate. I could be misquoting, but I'm pretty sure I saw that in a.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Okay.
That the thing is,
me with the players. I thought. I mean, obviously they're not going to go for free, but you know, a lot of productions nowadays they just pay them a very set amount just to participate in the tournament. But yeah, go ahead, TJ. I think I interrupted you there.
Well, appearance fees are, you know, pretty high for players nowadays. You know, players are becoming more marketable. They're mm-hmm. increasing their own value much quicker than they were back in ATLC 1.
Yeah.
Players are monetizing better. You know, players have more opportunities since there's so many events nowadays. Also, there's so many more sponsored game opportunities now. So I don't want to use anybody's example just because I don't want to like call them out or anything, but you know, someone could make, you know, $10,000 in a day for playing a sponsored game for 6 hours, yep. or they could play in ATLC 2 for 3 hours and make, you know, nothing that day, but maybe make something in the long run if their team manages to place highly. So it's things like that, these types of opportunities didn't exist in as much quantity as they did for ATLC 1. So the players that, you know, that Amaz or the community wants to participate in ATLC 2, these guys have, you know, much bigger obligations. They have more opportunities that could be more beneficial to them than playing in a team league. They have less to gain, I guess. Is a better way to put that.
I mean, easy. I mean, you as a player and somebody that, you know, potentially will be or could be playing in this thing. Actually, you will be playing in this thing.
Yeah, I was just playing.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel as a player? I mean, do you feel like you, you know, would want or need a large prize pool to play an event like this?
I mean, I don't really care personally, but I'm also a child and I have everything taken care of for me. So I don't have a very good a concept of like what it takes to live on your own, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of people, I don't know, hypothetically speaking, they would feel like TJ said, like they want it to be a comparable monetary investment to playing their sponsored game or to just streaming for the whole day instead of, you know, preparing and doing like pre-game preparations and then playing in ATLC and then being done and then being too tired to stream. So like it eats up a lot of time that they could just be creating content. So I think people pretty much just wanted to be on a similar level monetarily. And I don't know like how much people make or how much it would have to provide EV wise for it to make sense. But it's pretty hard for playing in a tournament to actually top just making money off of streaming in general in terms of expected value and everything.
Well, I was going to say, it's also not just a weekend event. A lot of these guys will go to a weekend event and, you know, make however much money because one, that might be their day off anyway. Two, you know, it's a live event that, you know, they can make better connections with. So people will more likely go to a weekend event like Red Bull Team Brawl for a day or 2 days because they know that that's not going to interrupt their schedule very much. They know that that's not a huge time investment. They won't have to play playoffs. They won't have to play the show matches or whatever it is. They won't have to be... I don't even know how ATLC 1 worked, but I know there was like little prizes given out to like highest win rate and things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's things like that that add up over time, and they want to participate. They do. Is it worth it to them? You know, how much are they willing to sacrifice in order to play in what's a fun tournament and usually pretty good for their brand, but maybe not as good for their brand as other things might be.
Yeah, and given that, I mean, this was arguably the most successful event that we've had in Hearthstone, you know, with the viewership or whatnot, you know, if this event can't get folks to go out just, you know, even from maybe a player community standpoint, you know, and making something that's just, it might be something huge within the community, that's pretty tough for other people that are trying to do even smaller scale things.
Fortunately... Hearthstone has become pretty individualistic with players and their streams and, you know, how competitive the streaming market has been. And Toast can probably talk a lot more of this. Streaming is competitive. Like it is cutthroat. I've heard Savitz and Kibler, you know, not have like an argument, but like talk about their time slots with like passion, things like that. Like Savitz coming to the US and, he moved his time slot up.
To stream at one. Time
slot now that he's in the US. Toast can probably speak more of this, but it is cutthroat, man.
Yeah. So I'll give my honest opinion because I started streaming seriously a month ago, right? And you know, the first day the viewership went up to like 9,000, and obviously it tapered out to like about 1,000. And a big part of it was just trying to figure out when to stream and. Because you don't want to step on anyone's toes, right? Like everyone has essentially an established stream time. So Kriparian set at 11 PST, EST. And Kibler, like as a streamer, you should know like the time everyone streams. It's really important that you don't like compete with someone like super huge. Like no one streams at 11 PM EST with Kriparian because you're not going to get any viewers besides the few people who just don't like him. So yeah, Savij, like since you brought it up, Savij was in the US the last month and it was similar to stream time. Like I was paying a lot of attention to Savij because he doesn't usually stream at that time. It was quite a surprise to me. So I actually moved my stream time back by 3 hours. Like I had to make a change because, you know, Savij, Brian Kibler and was all streaming at that time. So I kind of moved to the between Crip and end of Savij and of Kibler time slot where, you know, sometimes it's Trump, sometimes it's Reyna.
Yeah.
And because Trump became a civilization streamer for the last month.
Society, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, this is the best time for me unless I want to go to the Ponyhof era, like after Kriparian. But that's just way too late for anyone in North America. But yeah, streaming's tough. Like when you go to BlizzCon, like so as you guys were talking about, like when you go to an event, even like ATLC2 or you know, even BlizzCon where it's like a 4-day event, that's like that's open seasons for any up and coming streamer.
Like Zale is talking about, right? He loves staying home from BlizzCon to stream because he kills it during that time.
Like, you can imagine, like, some people dedicating like a week to an event and then, you know, doesn't stream, and then a new streamer comes into that slot, and then eventually, you know, they can take some of your viewers, which is why, like TJ mentioned, these events, you're not just giving up, you know, money, you're giving up a very, you know, market valuable share. Resource. Yeah. Market share, essentially. Yeah. Essentially, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've sort of studied the behavior of Brian Kibler. I've worked a lot with Brian Kibler over the course of the year.
Studied Brian Kibler. Wow. We've got TJ, PhD in Brian Kibler.
We both have worked almost every single HCT event across the year. And so I've spent a lot of time with Kibler. And, you know, we were casting partners at BlizzCon. So I've talked a lot with him about things. And I studied his behavior. And, like, you can see how the longer he's at an event, the more on edge he gets. And the more he talks about, like, how he has to stream. I mean, Brian Kibler has streamed from the HCT venue. He's, you know, streamed from the hotel. Every time we go to a new hotel and the internet's bad and he can't stream, you know, he does everything he can in his power to try and, like, switch rooms or, you know, try and get to a point where he can stream. There's that sinking feeling that I know streamers have because they talk about it all the time. You know, when Dan was streaming and Savitz was streaming and Kibler was streaming and Firebat was streaming, they were all at an HCT event. They would just talk like, I could be streaming right now. I miss my stream. There's always that sinking feeling that you feel like you're missing out when you become a popular streamer, and just eats away. And I know it does from my Brian Kibler studies, of course. Brian
Kibler. Of course. All right. Well, anyways, we kind of got off on a tangent a little bit there, but
that's pretty funny hearing you think about it so much, because I thought about this at. So when school ended for me, I thought about seriously, like, trying to stream more. And I was like, all right, well, the correct time to stream is actually just like 3:34 in the morning. And I'm not doing that. Yeah. So then I was like, all right, well, I give up. And so I just kind of never. That was pretty much that was when I broke. I was just like, yeah,
this is too much. You have a different schedule. I mean, even in the summer, it's still not good for you to probably have those hours compared to the rest of your family and whatnot.
I stream whenever and I stop thinking about it, but I agree that you're supposed to, like, find the slot that no one streams in, and the best slot is like 3:34 in the morning. But
I feel like that's like the minor league development, you know, league type of thing. We're in that
Agree, dude. There are still people who want to watch Hearthstone at 3:34 in the morning.
What I'm saying is, like, I think
nobody else streams then.
No, I think the numbers, you get, like, great numbers at that point. But I feel like every streamer that does that outside of Pony is, like, trying to get himself big enough to go to the regular hours. And then when they do switch
over. I know Firebat did that time slot for a long time, and now he doesn't. Yeah. Mostly because he travels more. But he did that slot for a long time.
Got to be careful not to tread on the moss, though. Don't go too late.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to stream anyway. Stream until, like, 8 a.m.
Stream until 8 a.m.
That sounds awful. Yeah, like, I thought about doing it over summer. Like, there's no way I'm doing this.
I mean, I thought about it. If I moved to, like, China, it would actually be great for me. Because it'll be 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And, you know, I can just stream to 8 p.m. It'll be amazing.
Well, it's your job. You can just adjust your schedule and have it be super messed up. I just can't do that. But,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems terrible.
Yeah, but anyways, getting back to the Kickstarter, it was going to be tough regardless, but it does sound like they have sponsors. Like, I mean, when Backspace is on here, you definitely made it sound like they had sponsors, and I would be surprised if the event still doesn't happen. I don't know if it's going to be on the same timeline as it was before, but I'd be surprised if it didn't happen. It's TLC 2.
I want to give a this is a guess. This is a theory. Not necessarily a conspiracy theory, because I don't think there's any conspiracy there, but you can... You can correct me if you think I'm getting a little wacky. So next year, there's going to be a lot of Blizzard-sponsored events. You know, they announced the Invitationals. They announced the Global Games. They have Hearthstone Championship Tour.
Yeah.
I think what happened was they probably have sponsors lined up, but sponsorships take a while. You know, it takes a while for you to get the money. There's a lot of, you know, corporate red tape they have to go around, especially, you know, whatever sponsors you're considering, you know, G2A excluding, or Kinguin excluding. But all the other,
he's telling the truth.
He is.
And so it takes a while for you to get this money. What they probably wanted to do was see if they could, you know, get the tournament up and running a lot faster by having the community get involved. They may not have wanted to say that, but I think if that was true and if they said that, you know, that would have, you know, been a lot better than how they went about it right now. But if they don't get the tournament up running by like February, they're going to be competing with events every day of the week, official Blizzard sponsored events that will also be taking players away. You know, there's going to be a lot more slots for casters next year for all these events. A lot of pro players are going to be, you know, being invited to these invitationals and these global games to compete for their country. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be competing with so much stuff next year. And I think they want to make sure that they get this tournament up and running and started and building a viewership base before all those events start. And the best way for them to do it was to probably try and get the money faster instead of having to wait for sponsorship to come in and start it later. So that's my theory. It has no base, but I've been in the industry for a long time now. You know, I've been around these players and these team owners and stuff for a while now. I know how it works. So maybe that's what they were trying to do.
It could have been 200,000 though. That was just never going to happen. I mean, that was a lot.
They were hoping for the whale. I mean, the one guy that was going to be like, I love ATLC.
You have 200,000 right here. Dude, that would be the producer of the producers. Serious level, definitely serious level. But anyways, yeah, definitely, you know, good luck to them. And hopefully we will see that ATLC event very soon. Why don't we move on to cards? I know a lot of you folks are waiting for us to talk about cards and going to look at the last 15. But I did catch a guide on Reddit the other day, maybe yesterday, that had a guide to all the Kazakus potions. And that was a card that we talked about. And we never really, you know, we kind of speculated as to what all of them were. So why don't we just take a look at all of them?
At BlizzCon, I just lined up over and over just to play Kazakus over and over to write down all the combination.
Oh, dude, you had to be there the night before the venue closed. There was no one there. I was just me and Doug. We would just play, and then we'd move over one chair, and then we'd play, and then we'd move over one chair.
Nice. That was a good time. Nice. Yeah, so you can see like the 9 choices here for the one drops, which I think the other ones are just like levels of the same type of thing. It's just the
bigger version. I think there's one. The exception is the polymorph potion.
Oh, yeah. Right? Where's that? That's...
So polymorph only happens at 5 and 10. Oh, so God. At 5, polymorph is a random, and at 10, it's every minion.
Gee, which one's better? The random or all?
Yeah, but I think the rest is just, you know,
dude, I love
the same
it
thing.
Forth, random and polymorph are combined.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so you can get a good look at it. Oh, 10 only. Okay, so 10 and 5, they don't have
the polymorph.
No, 10 and 5, they have the polymorph, but they're missing a couple. They're missing a couple that the one has more selection. They have 10 things to choose.
One has 10 and five and 10 have 11.
These are different rows. Never mind. Yeah, so they have one more extra. Okay. Yeah, so you can see it's like basically random minions to your hand, deal direct damage, just plus health to minion, draw cards, get armor, summon a demon. Damage 4 to all minions, so like a board clear, and then the polymorph. Freeze 2 random enemy minions. Okay, interesting. And then summon 2 friendly minions that died this game. So basically resurrect too. Yeah. So just really powerful effects. Favorite
card
one.
Is too complicated to see play.
Too complicated to see play. Oh man.
Yeah. I probably can't handle this. I'm just going to go back to playing Shaman.
Yeah.
3 discoveries in a row.
It's like, when are you going to find a situation where you're going to play Kazakus and you're going to want to freeze 3 random enemy minions?
Dude, that's like all the situations. You're playing a Kazakus deck.
It's a Shaman and he's got like 6 minions on the board and you're like, ooh, you know what I could use right now? 3 of those totems to be frozen.
Dude, Mystic Word, I want all those to be sheep. That's what I would want right there. That could be good.
They still bloodlust to kill you.
They still bloodlust, but at least they can't thunderbluff me. And get some good stuff there.
You're onto something here.
Yeah, but anyways.
I want the keyword totem to sheep. Okay. Then you get
sheep totem. It's a fluffy totem. Okay, well, I just wanted to show you guys that, and then we can go on to the cards now. Going to start off with a couple Warlock cards. First one being a 4-mana Sea Devil Stinger. It's a rare card. 4 attack, 2 health, and it's a Murloc. Battle cry, the next Murloc you play this turn costs health instead of mana. So this is the first time we spend health for a minion and not a spell like Cho'Gall is, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the first attempt at a Murloc Warlock. What do you guys think? It's been a long time since I've seen something like that.
Anybody? Stats are bad.
Stats are bad.
Prerequisite is we have to be playing Murlocs.
What Murloc could you possibly play that would make this worth it?
Dude, this thing and then Corrupt Seer.
What?
The combo.
Yeah.
Gotta come up with something here.
I don't know. The best Murloc you can play is probably Murloc World Leader, right?
Yeah.
So then what's your turn look like? You get a 6-4, or no, you get a 6-3 and a 3-3, and you just, that's your turn 4, as you go 6-3-3. I mean, that's a good turn 4, but...
Yeah. I think
it's a bad deck.
It's just there's no other Murlocs, right, that Warlock has, or any kind of Murloc card that Warlock has that makes it even stronger than just another class that has, you know, Murloc class. Like, how's that better than Paladin? Like, that's not even close, right?
It's like good in Murlocs, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if you're playing Murlocs, you probably play Sea Devil Stinger.
Maybe this is the first card in a series of Warlock Murloc cards we're about to see.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Yeah, my thing is, if Murlocs are good, then this guy's probably good. Yeah. Murlocs probably aren't good, but we haven't seen all the cards.
The new Murloc, Finja the Ninja, might be pretty decent. I mean,
if you are
playing a Murloc deck, 4-mana, summon a 4-2.
Okay, you can play that guy after this thing.
That guy's good. Yeah, that's true.
4-2, 2-5 with stealth, and if you get a kill with the 2-5 guy, I mean, you get 2 Murlocs. Probably not good Murlocs, but it could be a big swing going to turn 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, Murloc. Yeah.
Once upon a time, it was the strongest
deck
in the game.
It was. Maybe the first ever Zug deck. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
We're running a Hungry Crab, right? Trump Hungry Crab at a tournament. Sniped
Artifact.
That's right. It was at a Seat Story that happened.
Like the first Seat Story.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Pretty brutal. Okay. Next one. 7-mana Abyssal Enforcer. It's a common card. 6/6 Demon. Battle cry. Deal 3 damage to all characters. Yes. So
this seems pretty good.
Yeah, it's like a Hellfire mix with, I don't know, just Infernal and
just good, man.
Yeah,
it's like a front loaded Chill-Maw.
Exactly,
front loaded Chill-Maw.
That's pretty much what it is.
That's pretty much what it is. Yeah, I mean, control Warlock. This is great, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
plays as your finisher in aggro Warlock.
Right. I don't know about turn that, seven. Dude.
Turn 7.
I don't know about that.
Go all face, get him for 3.
Get him for 3.
Oh, I mean, how many times have you been playing aggro Warlock and it gets to turn 7 and you're just like, I'm 3 off lethal.
Or have you ever been 9 off lethal and been like, damn, how do I set this up?
How about I clear my entire board and then like set up lethal? That'd be great.
Yeah.
This is probably good enough for Arena Lock.
Yeah,
but I think so too. It's clearly not an aggro Warlock card. Other control Warlocks are awful. Renolock's not very good, but I mean, I would think you probably play this. That deck already plays every AoE spell Warlock has. You probably want more.
Yeah.
This card's like pretty good. It's just it doesn't go in anything that's playable right now.
Yeah. Definitely my Renolock, I will be adding it. Hopefully, unless there's a lot more good Warlock cards coming out. Okay, so we're going to switch over to Mage now. This card was announced, I believe, yesterday by Kibler. 7-mana Ink Master Solia. It's a legend. 5/5 Battlecry. If your deck has no duplicates, the next spell you cast this turn costs 0 mana. So, Reno, basically a Reno deck again. Mm-hmm. But you get a free spell cast, and there's a lot of good spells in Mage right now. You guys think, how good is this, or is this good?
I'm pretty excited for it. obviously you're going to see a lot of people pulling off seven drop into Pyroblast phase for 10 damage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the tempo advantage you get, you know, seven drop, even using on a capitalist tome is pretty value. But again, Reno decks are really inconsistent. You're giving a lot of consistency to be able to pull off these abilities. I don't know, like if Reno wasn't around, you definitely wouldn't run this, right?
Right.
It really depends on what other no duplicate cards out there, because that's the theme of the Cabal, right? No duplicates.
It's one of them, yeah.
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 But I like it. I mean, compared to Cho'Gall, like, is it worth it? Because no one runs Cho'Gall right now, right? It's a terrible card. So you're exchanging two attack, two health, and not losing a life in exchange for being a Reno deck.
Well, Cho'Gall is different because there's not as many spells in Warlock right this moment that.
Cho'Gall twisting the other.
Cho'Gall too.
No, I was thinking about that, TJ. I wasn't going to say anything.
I mean, maybe Cho'Gall with, you know, Caracas or whatever. Or Kazakus. That could be actually pretty interesting. No, but this with Fireland Portal, I think that's a great turn, right?
Oh my god, this card with the 10 drop potion. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, that too.
No, Kazakus. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, 7 mana, 5/5, draw 3 cards, freeze 3 random enemy minions.
Oh my god. That'd be crazy, right?
mass polymorph or whatever it's called. Yeah, this card's definitely good in a Reno deck. It's just, I don't think you can build around it. Like, it's not like Reno, where it's the only reason you're playing a suboptimal god-awful deck with Cabalist Tome in it on purpose. But, yeah, I mean, this is good in your Reno deck.
It'll be interesting if they can actually make the, you know, we always classify as Reno deck because of the no duplicates, but when Reno does get cycled out, can this no duplicates deck be powerful enough to withstand not being able to heal? That's going to be the big question, if they can make enough cards that can, you know, overcome that, because right now, you know, the classes that don't have heal, they really, you know, it's really nice to have an option with a Reno like deck for control or whatnot. And that's going to go away come February, March.
Mm-hmm. They'll definitely put in more no duplicates cards the following set, because these cards are not good enough to carry a deck.
Yeah.
And so you need something like Reno. So they'll put something powerful. It might not be Reno, but they might put in neutral healing and have a different powerful effect that's no duplicates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they'll drive the archetype, though.
Okay. Next up, 3 mana, Potion of Polymorph. So this is a secret. Rare, after your opponent plays a minion, transform it into a 1/1 sheep.
I mean, I only have one question, which is how does it interact with Jiraxxus? Because if you repentance a Jiraxxus, it becomes 1 health. If you snipe a Jiraxxus, your opponent's hero loses 4 health, right?
That's true.
So, judging by the word, it should transform Jiraxxus into a 1/1 sheep. But, you know, Blizzard, they don't always make things consistent. But that would be hilarious. If they implement a situation where you polymorph your opponent's Jiraxxus and he turns into a 1/1 sheep, it's like, hats off to them.
But you're talking about the hero turns into a 1/1 sheep too.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the hero power then?
Bah.
Bah. Just throw cotton balls at Oh man, okay. If they did that, I would give them props for doing that. That would be pretty sweet. But in the more normal case with this, how good is this card? Is this like big enough tempo swing for that's similar to, I don't know, like Mirror Entity or Freezing Trap? How would you compare this?
Okay, so for me, I just feel like it's too easy to play around if it becomes popular. Like, people play around Mirror Entity, they play around, it's easy to play around like secrets that are in the meta. And there's a lot of, you know, subpar minion you can just play. Like, the transformation is great, so like if they play Loot Hoarder or Acolyte, you can deny the draw, but I don't know. I'm not in love with it, but more secrets for secret mages is always nice, right?
Yeah.
One more secret that I have to worry about playing around.
Okay, playing around, this is the same as playing around Mirror Entity.
It is, pretty much. It's the same.
Sort of.
Sort of.
I was thinking about that. It's a little different, sure. But the fact that this is a very similar play around, like the thing about playing against Hunter Secrets is at least they do different things.
Mm-hmm, right.
So playing around like Hunter Secrets properly is either you just guess, which is what I do a lot, or you just like actually have to play in a really slow, methodical way where you just get caught up trying to beat everything, which is why I usually guess. But I don't know, this card's all right.
Yeah, that's
it. Not that bad. Yeah, it depends how good Secrets are. Like, Secrets suck right now. But the one drop is good for Secret Mage, and we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know. Mage Secrets in general aren't very good. They're pretty overrated in regard to, like, trying to play Secret Mage. Like, that's one of the big problems is that all the Secrets are really bad. Like, Mirenity is good sometimes, Counterspell is good sometimes, the other ones are god-awful.
Well, I think you summed it up pretty well. They're too easy to play around, where the Hunter ones are not. You know what I mean? The Hunter ones, I feel like you have a lot of influence on how or when that trap is being triggered, mm-hmm. where mages don't. It's like completely in their hands. Do I kill your minion, you know, for like an effigy, or even back when duplicate was around, or do I, you know, play a crappy minion? And then chances are I do have a crappy minion, and it totally negates the most powerful ones. So, yeah, they need to do something that's a little bit, you know, better from that standpoint, where your opponent, you know, it's not even a puzzle. It's just like, okay, I just play this and I just cleared off two of your most powerful ones.
It's like a puzzle with only two missing pieces.
Yeah,
as opposed to Hunter's like a half finished one.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so there's some more mages. This is obviously the mage week here. We've got Volcanic Potion. It's a rare card. 3 mana spell. Straight up 2 damage to all minions. Yeah.
Card's good.
Yeah, good. Card's pretty good. It's just a good power shot.
Good.
Probably not good in... I don't think it's good in Tempo Mage. Honestly, it's not that bad in Tempo Mage, I don't think. Like, right now...
Your own minions, too, is the only thing.
Yeah, I know.
True.
Still, doesn't seem awful. But it's probably not very good in Freeze Mage, but Freeze Mage hasn't been a real deck for a really long time. But yeah, this goes in Reno Mage, which is the only other archetype. I could see this not sucking that much in Tempo Mage as a one-up.
Oh wow!
Like if you're ahead, you're ahead, and if you're behind, this card's nuts.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Who knows? This card's good against Shaman.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. Right. I want this to already in my Tempo Mage deck if I'm playing against Shaman. Yeah, that card's good.
Okay. Everybody else pretty much agree on that? It's good. Or
it's pretty straightforward. Yeah,
exactly. All right, next one is the one drop we were talking about, Cabal Lackey. It's a 2/1. You know, 2 attack, 1 health. Battlecry, the next secret you play this turn costs 0.
Like, sucks.
It's a Kieran Tor's little brother, basically.
Try to elaborate, teacher. Nah, see, I got him. He didn't think he'd get this far.
Just like, what secret is good on turn 1?
When you think about
one that doesn't get proc, so you curve into Medivh's Valley.
Okay.
But Ice Barrier.
Like,
or,
the
or
dream
spell,
is
Spellbender.
The dream is this, and then you play Mirenity, and they play a minion. You get it too, and then you Medivh's Valet that minion.
But your Mirenity would have
gone. That is not the dream scenario.
That is not the dream.
No, dude, the dream is you.
Like what? So what? Like what spell is good then?
I don't know, man. I think
like Counterspell, you're playing it on turn 1.
Spellbender, so like, I told you.
Okay, Spellbender, and then you're playing Spellbender in your deck.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like so Counterspell, really you're playing... Bad,
given what we've seen so far, they need to introduce like a secret that's not awful. Like, Hunter, the reason Secret Hunter works now is because Catrick's really good. That card's just actually insane, and they have like support for it. So like,
if you play,
it's still like the 5th best deck in the meta sometimes for some lineups. So it's not even good. But
you
like,
play a new secret, and then the 1/1 sheep just trades into this guy.
That's true.
Like, what do you want a sheep? Oh, what do you want to steal on turn 2? What do you want a sheep on turn 2? You're playing right into the coin, so they can just coin.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I thought. And then you can't really get it.
Such a huge card disadvantage because this guy's got 1 health, so he just dies to all the ping classes.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah,
the secret makes bad. If but if they give us a real secret,
God, this card is so good. Don't steal it.
It actually is good if there were a good decent secret. So
the card itself is powerful. It's just in context, it's awful.
Yeah, I agree.
If it was a 1-2, it'd be broken.
No, TJ, I think it would be worse.
Yes. It'd be broken.
Oh, those are like emotes in the game. If it was a 1-2, if it was a 1-3, it would be
I like 2-1s, man. I love it when the hero power on 2. Then I just play Sorcerer's Apprentice and start jamming them for 3.
Good point, yeah. It's true. Okay, next up, we've got... Oh, a couple cards are stacked on each other. Hold on a second. Okay, so we've got... a common card, which is 4 mana, Cabal Chemist, 3/3, Battlecry, add a random potion to your hand. And just to clarify for folks that might not understand what, like, I guess a potion or the classification of a potion is, I don't know if they've confirmed or not, but our thoughts is that anything that has the word potion in the name of the card would be classified, you know, as, you know, for this card, you could add a random one of those cards. And they've introduced a bunch of potions this release. So, yeah, what do you guys think about this?
So, some of the best ones would be Dragonfire Potion, right? 6 mana,
yeah.
5 damage to everything. If you're not a priest or if you're not running synergy card, I can imagine getting pint-sized potion to be one of the worst options, or maybe a potion of madness because it's more, you know, combo-y. The priest potions, besides for Dragonfire, you know, requires a bit of setup. I mean, you could just use pint-sized potion as a positive trade. But to be honest, I think all potions right now are, all the ones they've shown are pretty good. But there's hasn't been any from the Warlock one. And they're revealing one today, actually.
A potion?
Yeah, they're revealing a potion today. I'm not sure if that's out yet. But yeah. The potions so far, they all seem all right. But you're playing a 4-mana 3/3, and it's not a discovery potion. It's a random potion.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a 4/3. That's a big difference.
Well, I'm surprised it's not discovery either. That surprised me, given just the trend of everything.
That'll probably be way too strong.
Think so?
And also, discovery effect is based on your class, right? It's 400% more weighted.
Mm-hmm. Which would be super good for priests, but it's...
Yeah, but are priests even going to have 3 potions?
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
So but they have discover already. And only 2 potions pop up.
Priest already has 3 potions, right? They have Fireman, and Steal a Guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. And Mage has Volcanic, the Polymorph potion.
Yeah.
And what else does Mage have?
I think that's the 2 so far.
Okay.
So I mean, if you have to pick from all of those, yeah, it's not likely it's going to be that. I don't know. There's a good chance it's not going to be that synergistic. Probably good value, though.
Depends on the meta. Yeah. Potions seem pretty good so far.
Yeah.
A lot of good ones. Some of them are pretty situational, but can be good.
Yeah.
If this card's too slow for your matchup and you rip one of the one drops, it's honestly fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the thing to play. I don't know.
I wonder if it's another card you put in your Reno deck.
Reno.
Yeah, that's like every card ever, Chan, man. It's really hard for a card not to make the cut in the Reno deck.
That's true. Okay, so next one is a Paladin card and another Murloc here. 1 mana, Grimscale, Chum.
If this guy was a 1-2, he'd be OP.
He's a 2-1. And Battlecry, give a random Murloc in your hand, +1/+1.
Toast hate this card so much he left.
He just said, see ya.
Dude, he's done. No, he was just done after the whole 1-2 comment.
Yeah.
One more 1-2 and I'm out.
Yeah, he followed through.
I don't know. What do you think of this card? This card's, I don't know. It's, because after seeing like all the +1/+1 to everything in your hand, this one's just kind of boring to me.
This card's really good.
It's solid, though.
Is it?
It's solid, right? Well, for sure.
Are we playing Murlocs?
Vilefin Inquisitor is it's going places. Vilefin Inquisitor, of course, turns your hero power into summon a Murloc instead of a dude. And like, I think this card might be good enough to put Murloc Paladin tier 3.
You're talking all serious. So it might be okay.
What? Like, okay, you if you're on the coin, you Grimscale Chum into Vilefin Inquisitor. Vilefin Inquisitor is a 2/4.
All right. I can see where you're coming from. I don't know. Murlocs are good. This card's probably good enough. Honestly, Murloc's problem is that they're 1.
I don't think it's that far. I don't think it's that far.
We get one good Murloc. One more good Murloc.
Yeah.
Is Murloc Knight even good in Murloc Paladin?
No, not really.
It's too slow. It's still too slow. Yeah.
But like, if you get Balfe and Inquisitor early, you Murloc Knight, get a 1/1 Murloc, and also it summons a Murloc. So any Murloc that you summon that buffs Murlocs will also buff the hero power that you gave. So if you get like Murloc War Leader, then all of a sudden your hero power just gave you a 3/2.
I like the new like 2/4 Chargy Man and Murloc Knight. That sounds like a nice time.
That's the ninja dude, right?
Yeah, ninjas. And like he punches some guy and then you get Murlocs out of your deck or something.
Yeah.
But it's expensive.
I think you top every Murloc deck at that. That card's good.
Leroy?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it's 5 mana, right?
Yeah. Both five.
Well, if you play a fast Murloc deck too, and you know, we always have Divine Favor in Paladin.
Yeah. Not in Murloc Warlock though, because then you're gonna want to top out at that 6/6 that deals 3 damage to everything.
Oh, that's true.
It's the finishing touch right there.
That's your finisher.
Kill everything.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I think this card again. It's pretty straightforward, but it could be good. I think if it just fills out a little bit more, maybe like the 3 mana just for Murloc. I think it might have a chance. And if you add all those +1/+1 buffs to all your cards as Paladin, I mean the Murlocs are pretty darn good. Like just getting off of one health is pretty good for Murloc. So kind of interesting. Next up, what do we have here? Okay, next up we've got these grimy goon pit hogs. We got the hog gods, all three of them. I figured we'd just group them together and talk about them all at once. So
this is like if Rumbly Tumbly and Grumbly from the Wobbling Run all got really pissed off one day and just went to the gym.
Every time I look at this, for some reason I think Ninja Turtles. You know, just like the what's his face from the Ninja Turtles, the pig.
I think Power Rangers personally.
Oh god,
I have an idea.
TJ's got an idea. Oh, okay, here we go.
For another part of the set, it's a 7-mana 7/7 battle cry. If your opponent wins the game, gain charge.
I like that, that would be
better than these.
I like the 7-mana 7/7 if your opponent's alive, get in charge.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good.
Well, let's just go through them real quick. We got a 6-mana 6/6 leather clad hog leader battle cry. If your opponent has 6 or more cards in your hand, gain charge. 6 or more cards in their hand. All right. A 5-mana, the next one is a 5-mana spiked hog rider. It's a rare. 5/5 battle cry. If your enemy minion has taunt, gain charge. And then the last one is a 4-mana Tanaris Hog Chopper, the little brother here. 4/4 battle cry. If your opponent's hand is empty, gain charge. The one on the right is just like, when does that happens? Like what, 2% of the time or something? 3%. Yeah.
I think if their hand is empty, you don't really need to get them for 4 that often.
I don't know. It's great for a Deathwing follow up. He slams Deathwing and you're just like,
you're
hitting him for 4. The sound effects on these guys are going to make or break the cards.
Because
your opponent plays Deathwing and then they like can't watch, so they minimize and all of a sudden they hear they're like, oh no.
Okay,
charged.
So can we think of any scenario, like some people were talking about that 5-mana as being like a Belcher counter, and I don't know, like do you guys see anything here?
Despite
on the left doesn't seem that bad.
I think the one in the middle is the most reasonable one, because like for example Taunt Totem, right? I mean, I can see a situation like where your opponent has taunt and you want to charge, because you can play it and then you can clear off the taunt and then this can go face, right?
What's a 2-for-1 like in most cases, right? If you have a
like for me, I think the one in the middle is the least garbage one, and followed by the left and followed by the right.
Yeah,
the one on the left is still good against control.
Left one,
Like Warrior's gonna actively play poorly to dump cards from their hand if they think you have leather clad hog leader or whatever.
Oh my god! Like,
dude, at least we're introducing counterplay.
See now, like 5 months from now, there's gonna be shows gonna be streaming Control War, and it's gonna be like, I don't know.
He's dumping cards.
You have the hog leader.
He's dumping cards.
We could shield slam then execute, even though the shield slam would kill it if we armored just to play around the left.
Yeah, guys, he just bashed himself just so that he'd have to play around the leather clad hog leader. Yeah, I don't see these cards being played anytime soon and constructed.
The old turn 9 Mukla into hog leader.
Oh my god, I'm doing that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Give him two bananas and you're like,
turn 6. Hell yeah. Okay. Next group we got. Let's see what we got. We only have a few left here. Okay, we got Madame Goya.
Oh yeah, this card. This
is the toast.
Probably the best card in expansion.
I will have to say I do like the artwork. The artwork for some reason is one that I like. It's one of the ones I do like a lot.
It's just a panda.
So what?
You're gonna say panda?
It's a very well done panda. Look at just.
There's so many cool artworks.
I like this one. All right.
I like the panda.
Okay, so anyways, this is a 6-mana 4/3 body legendary Madame Goya battle cry. Choose a friendly minion. Swap it with a minion in your deck.
Swap it, man. Yeah. Okay, the effect is random, just so everyone knows, like all the viewers watching. You don't get to pick. It's the exact same thing as a Barn/Oshrush.
Yeah. Which is interesting, but...
Like, I mean, put it like this. How many minions do you want from your deck to have the full stats? Like, compare this and Barns, right? So you want Barns out, Death Rattle minions, and, you know, mainly Death Rattle minions. And the stats doesn't matter as much. And this is 2 mana more with the same similar stat distribution. And you're giving up a minion on your board in exchange for it.
All right. Here you go.
Oh, God. Here we go.
The only 4 minions you're playing in your deck, okay? You play 2 Brewmasters, or 5 minions, okay? You play 2 Brewmasters, Madame Goya, Barns and Yashraj. Okay? So no matter what minion you get, you're guaranteed to get all of your minions.
Sedan? No.
What?
No. Oh no.
So you play...
You play Arthur? Man, with the Brewmaster? No, that's not how it works.
Okay. You play Youthful Brewmaster.
Okay.
Then you Madame Goya, the Youthful Brewmaster, and get either Barns,
right,
or Yashraj. You have to have the second Youthful Brewmaster in your hand, right?
If you get Barns, you can bounce Barns.
So you hard mulligan for Brewmasters.
You hard mulligan for the Brewmasters.
And then whichever one of the minions comes out, if Yashraj comes out, you just leave him there because he's going to pull out Barns.
Sure.
And then if Barns comes out, you just Brewmaster him back, and the next turn you play Barns because he's there, and you get another Barns, or you get Yashraj.
Or you get the Brewmaster traded back in with Madame Goya.
Yeah, but then you have the Brewmaster.
That's if you have the Brewmaster in your hand.
Wait.
I'm confused. This
CJ, this sounds awful.
This shuffles it back into your deck, right?
You need a lot of Brewmasters.
Just choose a friendly.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you need to have 3 Brewmasters.
You need to have like 8 Brewmasters to make this work.
We'll change it to Rogue. we're gonna go with Shadow Step.
So this is way more situational than
it would be
cards.
Better if the minion that you swapped. Died. Yes. Just hear me. So, like, if you're taking
a
minion,
that's a good deck. When you hope the minions that you swap out die. Oh.
Because, like, okay, so this minion obviously is only good for like fringe case scenarios.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to like actively like put a card back in their deck, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it'd be more fun. You'd be able to get more combos, more fun combos if the minion just died. Killed the minion.
Yeah, but then
are you sure people don't want to put cards back in their deck? Have you seen Reddit talk about tracking?
How do you win?
Outraged that they lose cards.
How do you win games, CJ, with that?
How do you win if you put
if there's no minions in your deck and you have Yashiraj? Okay. How do you win?
That was, all right. Yogg Hunter was a thing. Okay.
It was, but okay, maybe if you play Hunter, because Hunter does the rest of the damage with just hero power and spells. All right,
I'll go back to the drawing board. Okay. I'm sorry that I gave you guys a bad deck. I just made it in my head in 5 seconds.
Oh gosh. Okay, I think we can all agree. This card is not very good.
Comparatively, it's not very good, but you know, it can be a lot of fun for memes and just pulling out a big minion,
Ram Druid.
There's a lot of cards like this, which is just meant for people who like to have big minion. They don't really care about winning. Winning's not a priority for the people who would play. It's like
efficient winning, I guess you could say. Yeah.
Yeah.
Winning in general.
Okay. I'll be playing this card for sure. Okay, here we go. Don Honcho. Okay, this is a card. This is a card actually, I feel like people have had mixed thoughts on. 7 mana. This is a tri-card, or tri-class card. And it's a legendary 5/6 body. Battlecry, give a random minion in your hand +5/+5. So, I mean, if you're looking at it with its own stats, it's like a 10-11 statted minion here, and it's for the Paladin, Warrior, and Hunter tri-class too. So just what we need, a potential 11-11 high main, or no, 11-10 high main. That could be potentially scary. What do you guys think of this?
I have this dream of making the biggest Sunwalker ever. Me out.
Okay.
So there's that Warrior card that makes the taunt minions bigger, right? I'm not crazy that exists.
Yeah.
Yep, that's
all true. All right.
That's true.
And we have Don Honcho. We're going to make a big Sunwalker. We are going to build a Sunwalker.
Somebody just said a 13-13 King Crush in the chat. 13-13 King Crush.
The logic is this card's probably good, just because if they made this random minion in your hand gets plus whatever effect bad, then they wasted like half the set. So there's no way the mechanic itself is bad.
Yeah.
And so this card seems good if that mechanic's good.
Yeah. 5/5 to any late game minion is pretty sick. Tyrion, whatever.
I think, a big part of the negative reception came from the fact that we saw like 10 cards with this effect, like leading up to it. Mm-hmm. And they did this whole big review, like, yeah, vote for Don Honcho, man. This is going to be like sick card. And then they show it, it's like the exact same thing, but bigger. Like, I think if they showed this at the very beginning to kind of set the mood for the Grimy Goons, it's like, oh, okay, I get it. But like, compared to this Kazakus, right? Kazakus, like, whoa, 100 different potion. And Don Honcho's like, yeah, make minion big.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Give a random minion in your hand a potion that gives them +5/+5. That would be way cooler. Am I right, guys?
Yes.
No, yeah. Right. Give a random minion a random number plus buff. Yeah.
I like random.
Random five. Stats are boring. So this, stats are very boring.
This card with these cards, right? 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 Okay, never mind. Maybe not.
Just get him for 11 with leather crad, get him guy.
Yeah.
look, with Emperor Thorsan and Faceless Manipulator, you're looking at like 22 damage with the Hog Leader.
Yeah, you're playing against a guy you know has Deathwing, and the only two cards you have in your hand are Don Honcho and the 4/4 charge guy. And he's at exactly 9 health.
Yes. Like,
oh my god.
Yes.
I was setting up for his Deathwing. I'm playing Don Honcho. You get him for 9.
That's right.
Dude, when you're doing that faceless combo, what if you just Don Honcho the faceless? You just didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But Don Honcho makes anything good, man. So, yeah, it's pretty. With the 5/6 body, I mean, that's good. That's crazy good.
Yeah, I think this card's definitely good.
Yeah, it'd definitely be played. It's just a matter of what type of deck will this be played in. You just throw it in? Just any good deck right now?
Maybe.
Probably could. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, even if you think about the worst minions that these decks could possibly have, it's still good.
Dragon Warrior, Frog, just throw this in. Any of your dragons are ridiculously
big. Hard. Thunder Bluff Valley sounds good, and I'm still on this whole Sunwalker.
Just play it in Control Warrior, and you just get like a 5/12 Doomsayer.
You'd go with
still good because he's not killing that thing.
How big is Grom with this card? It's a 9/14.
Dude, go with the 6/9/69 Armorsmith. Yeah.
That's actually
That sounds pretty good.
Or you just you get so frustrated because you keep playing cards that buff minions in your hand, but they keep buffing the cards that buff minions in your hand.
No, dude, that's just the value of the hopper.
You play like this crazy combo where you're trying to buff one card, but you keep buffing the cards that buff it. Yeah. So you just like keep going, ah, crap, and then you slam the card that buffs the card in your hand.
Warrior has two minions.
We haven't even
joined the one Sunwalker.
You've got the youthful brewmaster.
We haven't even talked about Bran in this card.
All right.
Yeah, you can have a really big hog rider then.
Then you can have a big one.
It's big enough to kill the Deathwing.
Exactly.
This could also be a getaway to activate C'thun.
Yeah, right. C'thun. Oh, you know what people talked about too? They talked about Doppelganger, right? Doppelganger getting this. And then branding that.
3/7/7s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 21/21.
Oh, heck yeah. That's sick. All right. The dreams that Don Huncho provides us. Like a boss.
Boring dreams.
Yeah. All right, Bomb Squad. This just came out literally right when the show started. It's a 5-mana rare card, 2/2, Battlecry, deal 5 damage to an enemy minion. Death Rattle, deal 5 damage to your hero.
This guy's going to Northrend.
You like this card, right? Or if it hit face.
Oh, yeah, we discussed that.
Yeah, if it hit
face. Oh, it doesn't. Oh, yeah, this card's awful.
Yeah. It doesn't hit face.
I was just thinking, there's a world where you go spiked Hog Rider and they have no cards. And you get them for 4. And then you bomb the squad. Them, and then you go to Northrend. And then that's game. Lights out.
I mean, 5 damage can sometimes be tough to do. And 5 health is like a pretty common health marker for mid-game minions.
Yeah, so it's like
aligns well is what you're saying.
It's like a little better than a fireball than this thing.
Taking 5 is a lot, though. Like, even if no matter what deck you're playing, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And even if you're a tempo deck, that's a
especially
lot.
5 mana. I mean, it kills Thing from Below, but if they play the Thing from Below for like 2 mana,
as they do,
and then you kill it for 5 mana, but still take 5 as if the Thing from Below hit you in the face.
That's
one
true.
Time.
It hit you in the face anyway.
At least you have a 2/2 that can like trade with their, you know, their Thunderbolt Valiant buffed Stoneclaw Totem.
So with Bran, this is your typical
0/0 5/5.
With Bran,
Bomb Lobber's gonna take him on.
That's true. With Bran, it's your typical do a 10 damage to a single minion, right? Not choose.
Yeah, God. For sure, man. You could kill Brag with this sucker.
No, I'm not. That's actually a bad thing that it does it twice.
On 8.
Okay.
I mean, it deals with Sylvanas, kind of. It gives a 2/2 to your opponent that can deal 5 damage to her.
Okay.
If
Sylvanas is their only minion on the board.
Yeah, and now they can't play Nazoth because they'll take another 5 damage.
That's true.
Anti-Sylvanas, Nazoth.
It's a zombie challenge all of a sudden. Yeah.
But how many people play Sylvanas on an empty board? Like when your board is empty?
They should have called this Bomb Chow.
Like, nobody really plays Sylvanas when your board is empty, so you're almost never going to be able to guarantee them stealing a Bomb Squad.
Yeah.
That's when you fireball your own minion and then you play Bomb Squad.
Fireball, or you could just fireball their face.
Okay, this is good.
That way.
Oh my God.
Because they're still getting a 2/2.
This is how hard we have to try to come up with some interesting. No, I mean, I like the fact that I like cards like this. I just don't like this particular one. Just having Battlecry and Death Rattle have been kind of interesting. Like the librarian,
probably
right? Like
it's huge in Arena. Like
that's what Kripp was tweeting. Kripp was saying he liked it in Arena.
Yeah, I mean, 5 mana, puts a body on, target it.
Remove, yeah. Just a little bit of tempo, right? Little tempo. Okay, well, I think that's it for the cards. That was a ride. It's a good ride. Definitely good stuff. But at this time, I wanted to give a shout out to some of the iTunes folks and our Patreon. So iTunes, for those of you listening on the audio, you can find Value Town by searching for our Hearthstone on iTunes podcast store. And I do want to give a shout out for a few folks that have left 5-star reviews, because that helps out the podcast a lot, helps out people discovering it. So Dino himself and Melroy Nan, thank you so much for those reviews. And if you guys want to help also, you listen to it on iTunes, I feel free to leave us a nice review. Also, Patreon, big shout out to our producer legends, Mike T and L. Lewis G., as well as a few others, Chloe C., Matthias S., Bruce W., Sasha G., Albert, Lewis A., and Engine S., for being some of our newest patrons. And, since we talked about the patron and the milestone for, like, continuing Value Town in 2017, I mean, we've made the milestone. So, like, congrats to everybody, and thank you thanks so much for supporting it. Added a few other ones just to, kind of add some more fun milestones, and hopefully you guys will partake in that. But the goal is to maintain that first milestone so that we can, again, continue doing the show into 2017. But for everybody that has supported and, like, messaged me and everything, like, thanks so much for that, because, you guys are, the reason why we are able to do the show. And you can, if you want to be a supporter, you can go to patreon.com/valuetown and check out all the things we got there. We'll be doing some fun patrons patron events very, very soon here, especially with Christmas coming, so be on the lookout for that. Okay, next up, we've got one of the things that we are doing for patrons is having you guys submit your decks or even just your custom cards for, like, Mechatorps. And we've got a couple. We actually got something from Davin P. here, and it's a card that he's suggesting. For those of you who don't know what Mechatorps Workshop is, it's our segment where we come up with custom cards that we think would be cool added to the added to Hearthstone. And he came up with two. So first one is a mage card. It's a 3-mana plagiarize. It's a mad pick card. It's a secret, so when your opponent discovers a card, you get a copy of it. Okay, that's a cooler secret card than some of the ones that we've seen. But with all the discover cards that we've been seeing recently, what do you guys think of this card?
Risky choice, because if your opponent has 30 cards that none of them have discover,
that would suck.
Jesus, no, this is awful.
But then they're gonna think it's Iceblock the whole game.
Okay.
All right. So TJ, they're gonna pop your hypothetical ice block at one, and you're just gonna die.
No, they're gonna purposefully play around it.
I mean, I think if control became something, and even if Karrakis became something, how would this work with the Kazakis? Sorry, I can't say
you'll probably get the final version.
Is the final version? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is the secret you play with that Cabal Lackey on turn one and Curve into Medivh's Valet, right?
Yeah.
Turn one.
Because then they get the Scarab on two, and you're like, oh, yeah. Give me that King's Defender.
That's right. Yeah, so something to counter discover. I mean, I think that's an interesting idea.
It's neat.
For sure.
Yeah. You get some information of what your opponent discovers, right? And they're generally going to pick good cards. But yeah, the situational, it's way too situational.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe if one more discoverers become popular, it'd be okay. But or maybe like in a different form, not necessarily a secret. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably true. So his second one was actually a minion. So it's a 5-mana. It's Dwarven Luddite, 4/6 dwarf. So introducing, I guess, a whole new. Tribe also increase the mana cost by 5 for any card created through discovery.
It's a static effect. It's not a battle cry.
It's a static effect.
So you kill it and then you can play your Kazakus potion again.
I wonder if it's better as a battle cry or
it'd be too broken as a battle cry because then nobody could ever play Kazakus. Kazakus ever got
blood. Oh, that's true. It'd totally destroy it, right?
Dude, I'll pick Dwarven Luddite for the Kazakus potion, but I think you can live with that.
Okay, yeah. So it's kind of
he made my Kazakus potion cost 15 mana. Now I have to get 5 ticks of Emperor.
And a couple of...
Now you start thinking.
Exactly. Okay, well, you know, it's just definitely another idea on that. I think countering Discover, countering some of the things that they're adding on the player's standpoint, the person that plays the card from their standpoint, is a good direction to go, because it's always been an issue, right? This whole... I think a lot of the pushback to things like Yogg and whatnot has just been, you know, the person that's playing against that card, it just sucks right now being that person. And if they were to add some mechanic that was that helped, you know, from that standpoint, then maybe, you know, maybe we wouldn't have such pushback on super powerful cards like that, or non-interactive cards. Okay, well, anyways, thanks to Dab and P for sending in that card. And for any of you other patrons that are out there, feel free to email those to valuetown@chainmanv.tv, and we'll take a look at them whenever we can, including decks, too. We don't have any decks this week because there's just so many cards and stuff to talk about. But let's move on to Q&A, guys. We got some questions here from the group. You guys ready?
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's see. I have one that's actually pretty good. I'm going to save it for the end. But there's a guy that has that's writing an interesting program or thesis on how to I think an automated or an AI for Hearthstone. But let me see. Where are they? Okay, here we go. Jason Richard. So Jay Can Dance on Twitter asks, where are the female Hearthstone pros? Why are there no push or promotion of the ladies? Okay, so general question. Why don't we have very many female Hearthstone players that are...
Well, there is.
We have a lot of them? Really?
Not a lot.
And we have like two, right?
How many female players do other sports
have? Three, maybe two. Well, I mean, we're not comparing to other esports. We're just talking about Hearthstone. Well, I mean, I think Hearthstone's is more conducive for a large amount of people. I mean, not to say females or males, but I'm just saying I think Hearthstone's more accessible to a lot of people versus CSGO or something like that. So yeah, it's a fair question. I think I'm actually surprised we don't have more female Hearthstone players at the top level play. We've got.
They just don't want to be pros. I don't know.
That's
fine.
Yeah, that's
fine. I wish I was a. What do they call them?
Female.
Anthropology.
Anthropologist.
Is it anthropology though? Would that be it?
Sociologist, maybe.
Biologist.
I don't think it's biologist.
and it's either anthropology, sociology, one of those two, like the study of societies, things like that.
I think that's sociology.
Maybe even psychology, some type of field of science that like explains, you know, psychological behaviors, the differences between men and women. But, you know, less women feel the desire to try hard to become a professional gamer. You know, they don't want to, they don't think that that's a valuable thing in their life. And I don't know, it's like just less percentage, more percentage of women play Hearthstone than other esports. Yeah, you know, that's pretty obvious, but
less percentage. You're probably right. And I mean, I don't know the stats exactly, but I'm guessing you're right. But still, I mean, the percentage of the number of females we do have competing in these, I feel like is way well below that. It's odd. I mean, is it any possible hypothesis on why? I mean,
the more male dominated an industry gets, the more it pushes away women because it's intimidating, and because of, you know, misogynists who run rampant among video games and the overall below average or low average age of some of the people that play Hearthstone, current company included.
Taking shots on you again.
It's not like an insult. Man. Just saying that you're a young guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question like that's better answered, like, if you had a female guest to give her perspective, right? Because we're all four dudes.
Well, we don't have female guests. That's the whole thing. This guy, that's the root of this
I can go grab my wife and ask real quick.
Exactly.
Yeah. Why aren't you a Hearthstone pro?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had Hafu. I mean, we definitely have had Hafu on Value Town before, and you know, her answer is similar to what you were talking about, TJ. I don't think we've had Eloise too, but I don't think we've ever asked her. But that's the extent of what we've got right now, right? Those two, and do we have anybody else that competes at a lot of the events?
Emily.
Oh yeah, Silent Storm's girlfriend.
Emily. Okay.
Yeah.
Ilya got second at DreamHack Montreal.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah,
best top of three,
16, top 16, I think.
Is it a tournament that happens?
Yeah,
that tournament happened. Yeah. To answer your question, I mean, I can't really tell you, but I think it does have something to do with, you know, just having so many. It is a male dominated space, and a lot of females, you know, don't feel comfortable in that sort of environment. I hope it changes. I mean, it'd be great. It'd be great to see a lot of females at least representing like the player base, because there's a lot of female people that are female players that are, I mean, I don't think there's more females than males, right? Now, do you guys know the statistics for Hearthstone players? Like just general, casual, just whatever, casual. I don't know the statistics, but I think it's probably pretty close to 50-50, I would guess.
Okay. So TJ, you work with Cora, right?
Yes.
One of
Cora.
She's the only female caster. Do you notice her getting like feedback differently based like from the, you know, community based on, you know, her gender? Like, do people in Twitch chat say, it's a girl, like why do we does that ever come up, right?
I don't really pay attention to it. I don't know. I'm probably the wrong person to ask about that, but I would guess so. Yeah. But I'm not someone who like reads Twitch chat a lot anyway, unless I'm like actively watching an event. Like when I'm casting, I'm not. I usually, you know, only pay attention to feedback that's directed at me.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe, right. Probably, you know, it exists everywhere.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Any other questions, guys, you want to ask? Just ask in the Twitch chat because the tweets have been limited. We do have one here from, it looks like Ilya Halskyly. And I just linked it to you. He basically had a pace spin that was talking about he's making an automated replay system. So he's doing a bachelor's about automated replay analysis in Hearthstone, some sort of teaching tool. And he's starting with a Freeze Mage deck, and since it was one of the hardest for him to learn, and he wanted to have some help. So in his, you know, I guess he's making a teaching tool. There's definitely some independent properties, and some of the ones that he has right now are like active. So the list he came up with were active secrets, damage per turn from opponent's board, damage in our deck in hand, and damage which we can output in one turn. And then finally, damage from opponent's hand with some probabilities.
He's writing a bot?
He's basically writing a bot, yeah. I thought that
wasn't allowed.
No, he's doing a bachelor. I mean, just, I don't know. He's doing it for studies.
Yeah. So I can
bring back some giant shaman.
Am I allowed to rob a bank for studies?
But yeah, the thing is,
bank robbing.
So I can speak a bit to the technical side. So Blizzard doesn't really know what you're doing with the information, right? Like, if you're using a bot to calculate it, like a lethal warning, lethal checker, anytime you have lethal on board and in hand, it will, like, fire off huge red flashes. You have lethal. So you would never, ever miss lethal, right?
Yeah.
Like, something like that, Blizzard can't detect. And it would definitely give you an advantage. So, like, this is something similar to that, where you can calculate damage from your opponent, damage in your deck, in your hand. You don't technically cheat.
He's not writing a bot, guys. He's writing a replay analysis tool. So,
I thought you said automator.
No. An automated replay analysis.
Oh, okay. Tool, automated replay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. So I think maybe there's some kind of scoring mechanism that, I don't know, just or some type of thing that pops up while you're watching the replay as to, I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how it would look, but definitely taking properties in it.
a good stat that they're missing from that that you could analyze in a replay is blowback.
Okay.
All right, well, okay. TJ's adding a lot.
Damage that you take on your own turn. It's a valuable statistic for analyzing Hearthstone matches.
Sudoku probability. Okay, Toes, you were gonna suggest something, or
no, not really. Like Hearthstone, you can do a lot of information with Hearthstone. Like they give you everything. You can recreate games like with all the information you get. Yeah, it's just a matter of trying to figure out what kind of stats you want to talk about, because you can find everything you need. Like there was a period where you can actually tell what mana cost cards you have in your opponent has. So like people were able to cheat using that.
Yeah, they corrected that though since.
Yeah, they corrected it 6 months ago. But before then, like you can tell how many cards your opponent can play on every given turn. So if it's turn two and your opponent has, you know, two plays, you know, they have two mana cards in hand.
Yeah.
Like that was an insane thing. But yeah, they've been really good about
it. Wait, the what now?
Okay, so it was all kept very like
hush hush. But now that it's been fixed, I mean,
now that it's been fixed, people can talk about it. Yeah. But yeah, the logs tell you how many cards your opponent can play at any given time. Mm-hmm. Like if they have the mana to play two cards, it'll tell you that. Yeah, your opponent can play two cards right now, which is a huge information.
It's kind of interesting. Right? Yeah,
that was I was in the game and I didn't know it.
Yeah,
Jesus, I need to do my homework.
So I don't know. Maybe you know, maybe some people use it at a tournament. I don't know. But yeah, it's been fixed now.
Are you kidding? But I've definitely used it at a tournament if it's in the client.
Yeah,
I would have been. I'd be surprised how it'd be interesting to even know how many people actually knew about that. But anyways, getting back to this question, the only thing I would say is that it would be cool to maybe know how much, you know, from a standpoint of Freeze Mage, just know, I guess, how many cards or maybe like the minimum number of turns that you have to live. You know, like basically if you have Ice Block, if you have, you know, Frost, if you have Nova, if you have Blizzard, you know, just, you know, you're not going to die that turn. So you at least have one turn or at least one or two turns to live.
This is damage counter from hand too.
Yeah, something like that. Because, you know, that's what he's trying to figure out, like what maybe probably what scoring system that maybe you have at this particular turn, or maybe what the sequence of events is to actually winning like three or four turns in advance, that kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he's looking for here, but
a good one would be to like score. Is it better to use my removal to use my damage as removal or face, right? Let's say there's a Tunnel Trog, you know, 3-3. Do I use my Frostbolt to remove it, or do I hold on to it for Ice Lance and just give it a rating? Doesn't have to be accurate.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's take another question here. Senior Juice, do you think that cards in newer sets loved by community like Reno would ever be a wise choice to add to the classic set? I feel like we get this question, but let's just throw out the Reno card. Like Amnesiac, what do you think? Should a card like Reno be added to the classic set?
Nah, probably not. They can always just put it in with whatever set they want it in. If they want another year of Reno Jackson, they can put it in.
Yeah.
If they want 4 months without Reno Jackson, one of the sets cannot have it. Like, they can make... I don't think that Reno specifically is good because it's like the reason to play single card decks, whereas I think that like having more less powerful effects that like are all above average would make those decks like less insanely one-sided. Like when you draw your Reno, they're really good. When you don't draw your Reno, they're awful. Mm-hmm. Like I think having more cards with that effect, and I think it should be set by set because I think there's a lot you can do with that. But
yeah,
I think having more cards with that effect is better than just having like this bombshell of a card that makes it so you can't print good cards that go along with that effect as well, because then your deck's just broken and it's not fun to play against.
Yeah.
I mean, Amnesiac, you know, hit the nail on the head. Like if they want to make something, you know, into classic, they'll just reprint the card. Like if they really, really want, say, Reno Jackson to be around, you know, there's nothing stopping them from making just a new version of it.
Yeah.
Because if you move something to classic, it's there permanently and forever, right?
Until they remove it.
But, you know, Blizzard has shown that they're pretty resistant against making changes. I mean, they can put it in whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be the first expansion or the second expansion, the third expansion, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last question here. Silek asks, so we're roughly about halfway through, or we're just over halfway through just the reveals now. Yes, do you think that we will see a new interesting mechanic in the remaining cards, or have we seen that we still have, or have we seen the most interesting one so far? What do you guys think?
The Lotus one hasn't been revealed yet.
We haven't even seen the Lotus Assassins at all. Like Lotus, Jade Lotus at all. So, there's going to be maybe a couple mechanics associated with Lotus. I think that's...
Jade Lotus is Rogue, Druid, and...
Shaman.
Ah!
Yeah, they've been saving that one for last, so like we're kind of holding on to some...
Yeah.
You know it's going to be good.
They can't make it good. Druid and Shaman are the only two playable decks right now.
They have to make something good about it. And why didn't they save... So not showing at BlizzCon, totally understand. But... If it's not, you know, if it wasn't something good, then why haven't they showed?
Why would you Lotus cards so far?
Nothing with the Jade Lotus theme. So the Grimy Begoons is the
we've seen the pandas, right? Like Goya,
The Grimy Goons is the +1/+1, and the Cabal is the duplicates and potion, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing with the Jade Lotus has been revealed yet.
Yeah.
Because they're being very careful with it. They're not showing anything that gives away the theme of the Jade Lotus.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's good. There's a bunch that's going to come out. I actually think that there's going to be something good coming out for that. And they've just been saving it for the end. I don't think they would wait until the end just to show us crap.
I think they have a Savage Legendary waiting with a really cool
It's going to be Shaman.
And I really hope it's a rogue card.
You think it's a... Okay, yeah.
They've printed three good rogue cards in the past 3 years.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
We're getting the coin.
We're getting the platinum coin.
Half of a card that's objectively half as good as one of the cards in the game, and people are excited about it.
I know, right? That is crazy. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love to see a great rogue.
Imagine the things we could do with a card that's already in the game.
You can turn one at 12-fold now.
Yeah. What would you do if Shaman gets an incredible legend?
Good. Well, I'd hope the other things got better.
Well, and I mean, a lot of things that we've seen so far are countering the current Shaman, right? So like Priest, like a lot of the stuff Priest got counters whatever's the current Shaman is. They have to get something that's going to change, otherwise they're literally going to go to the bottom, and that would be really, really bad.
Jade Lotus really theme in like WoW?
Is there there's no such
thing? No, not really. Like these are all original Hearthstone creations, most of them.
Well, there was something similar to it in Mists. The people that were in the one zone that was where the main city was. Something Lotus.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Golden Lotus.
But not wow. A single Shaman card has been revealed yet, guys. Not a single Shaman card has been revealed. There's got to be a
reason. Yeah, I wish they just printed a 3-mana 7. I would just find that entertaining.
3-mana 7. I'd have to
laugh. Like, yeah,
I'd have to laugh at that.
This is the best we got.
Yeah, so yeah, so anyways, to answer your question, Jade Lotus is gonna be coming out with their entire mechanic set, and we shall see what those are. Okay, well, why don't we wrap up the show? It's been a great time. It's definitely been a different Value Town, but it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for everybody that wrote out questions for us, whether it was email, Twitter, or also in Twitch chat. But TJ, great having you, man.
Hey.
Where can people find you?
Thanks, man. It was fun again. Follow me on Twitter at Asmukidi. It's right below my face here. I pretty much just cast now. I don't really do content or anything about that, but I cast a a lot.
Yes,
he does. Can always find me twitch.tv/playHearthstone is where I cast normally, so you can follow that. It's the official Hearthstone channel. I'll be casting this weekend for the TESPA Collegiate Series Finals,
cool,
which is Friday and Saturday, I believe. So that should be really fun if you are in college and one of your schools is participating. TESPA.org, you can see there's 8 schools left. Then you could show your school spirit and root for them. It's pretty cool stuff.
When's the finals for that? You know,
it's this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, it's actually this Saturday. Weekend. Okay, and it's is it like what is it like full rides to like?
It's $50,000 in scholarships, and they're doing multiple seasons, so there's going to be like more seasons next year. So it's going to be like a lot of money being given out for scholarships for winning some Hearthstone games.
Yeah. Yeah,
school, man.
I love what Tess has been doing like forever now. So it's awesome they're continuing it, especially in Hearthstone. Toast, where can people find you, man?
They can find me on Twitter at DisguisedToast, youtube.com/DisguisedToast. And of course, I stream on Twitch, DisguisedToastHS. The HS is very important. Don't go to DisguisedToast. It's not me.
But yeah. There really is a disguised toast. It's not HS.
No HS. No, I'm looking it up.
Yeah.
You're like Trump, man. Trump SC.
Trump SC.
But that actually works a lot better.
Amaz HS. Forsen LOL.
He was playing Tom Clancy's The Division.
Is he really?
So hot for a DLC.
Okay.
He was playing Tom Clancy's The Division.
All right, Amnesiac, man, it's great to have you too. Where can people
thanks for having me, man. Good show, had fun, thanks for coming on, everybody. Find me on Twitter at @NRGAmnesiac. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/amnesia_sc. The underscore and the sc are both equally important. I stream a decent amount. I'm pretty good. I play in tournaments, so follow me on
and we didn't even get a chance to talk to him, man. And definitely congrats on that great run this year, man.
Thanks.
This is just the beginning for you. Yeah,
I mean, I'm going to win next year. I already decided. Exactly. So it's a mathematical constant. That's pretty much it for me.
All right, and I'll round things out. Just thanking the three of you guys for being on today. And you can find the VODs for this show as well as my other shows on youtube.com/ChamMV. Tomorrow I'll be doing a spoiler alerts with Elohim and Eat My Diction on Elohim stream. If you guys are big fans of Black Mirror, that TV series, we're going to be covering seasons 1 and 2. It's a great series if you guys haven't watched it. And especially for a talk show like ours, it's perfect since all the episodes are standalones. But you can tune into that. That's at 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And I think that's going to be it. I just want a reminder just for folks for next week. If you guys have any questions, email them to valuetown@chainmanv.tv and we'll read them out next week. But that's going to be it, guys. So for TJ Sanders, Disguised Toast, Amnesiac, and myself, Chainmanv, we'll see you next time. Later.